Real question, what would it look like in your life for your joy to be in Christ? Do you even have a category for that? Like, what would it look like for you if your happiness were to be wrapped up in Christ? Do you guys know what the word blessed means? We put that on our home decor, blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. It means happy. That's what it actually means. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Happy are those who will see God. You know, you could be this for someone. They could look at you. They could see your joy in Christ. They could see that your happiness in Jesus is dominating your affections. That Jesus is dominating what you treasure, what you long for. Is that your testimony? The world doesn't have a category for that. But here's the problem. I could talk about eternal happiness. I can talk about the joy of knowing Christ personally, week after week. And some of you are already thinking about lunch. No, God doesn't give me any special revelation to tell me that. I just know that's how your brain works. In Mark chapter 8 today, that's what happens. Jesus is going to have real spiritual conversations with them, and they're thinking about lunch. Like, parents, have you ever tried to have a meaningful conversation with your kids where you're just like laying your heart out? And you think for a second that it's connecting, and then they open their mouths, and you realize that none of it sunk in. I didn't know Mandy was going to share nice things about youth group, so I have this story from youth group. True story. This happened last Wednesday. Somebody said, if you're not trusting in Christ to save you, you will go to hell and pay for your own sins. And the next words out of the kid's mouth was, these grapes are good. Open your Bibles to Mark 8. That's where we're going to be today. We're going to start in 14, but Jesus understands this. Mark chapter 8, 14. The yeast of the Pharisees. The disciples had forgotten to bring any food. They had only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. And as they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, watch out, warning, beware of the yeast of Pharisees and Herod. Okay? At this, they began to argue with each other. They hadn't brought any bread. Now, Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said to them, why are you arguing about having no bread? He's kind of mad. Do you not know? Do you know? Don't you? Do you even understand yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, don't you? Can't you see it? You have ears, can't you remember it? Don't you remember anything at all? Now, let's stop there. Jesus was having serious, meaningful conversation with them. Jesus, with his disciples, and they are concerned with lunch. What do I think I'm doing up here? If Jesus, with his disciples, cannot even get their brains off of lunch, who do I think I am? I got no hope. I can talk about heaven up here and hell. I can talk about salvation eternally and damnation. I can talk about glory of the only one who's not created. And I can talk about evil and justice and mercy and eternity, and food is on your mind. Jesus is actually upset at them, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to shape your view of Jesus from the Bible. Nothing else. Shape who you think Jesus is from his word. You guys don't even have a category for this Jesus who's kind of upset. He's saying to you personally, don't you know? Take it this way. Don't you understand? Is your heart too hard? Don't you see it? You have eyes. Don't you see it? You have ears. Don't you hear it? And then he says, don't you know anything at all? Well, what was Jesus warning them of? What was he talking about? Hey, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Herod. Well, he's warning them of empty religions. I'm just going to give you a few things that he said. Luke 11. This is Jesus talking about the religious. What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees! You love to sit in the seats of honor in the synagogues and receive respectful greetings as you walk through the marketplaces. Yes, what sorrow awaits you! You are like hidden graves in a field. People walk over you without knowing the corruption they are stepping on. Now, this is where you have to shape your view of Jesus from his word. Look at this. Somebody said, teacher, said an expert in religious law, you just insulted us. And what you just said. Now, at that point, your view of Jesus would probably, you'd probably get an I'm sorry out of him. Look at the next verse. Yep. I'm fascinated with Jesus. I had a view of Jesus growing up because I was raised in the church. And then I read the scripture. He is so much more. Look at this. Yes. And Jesus turns to them and says, what sorrow awaits you, expert in religious law? You crush people with unbearable religious demands and you never lift a finger to ease the burden. And then jump down to 52. This one got me. What sorrow awaits you, experts in religious law? You remove the key to knowledge from people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves. That's fine. And you prevent others from entering. Matthew 23, he does the same thing. Matthew 23, starting in verse 5. This is what he's warning them about. Everything they do is for show, Pharisees, Sadducees. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they'll wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside. They love the long robes with long tassels. They love to sit at the head of the table at banquets and in the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. Don't let anyone call you rabbi. For you are all one teacher, and you're all equal, brothers and sisters. Don't exalt the religious. Look at this, 23:9. Don't address anyone here on earth as father. Good thing we don't do that. Or do we? You have only one father. Your father's in heaven. Don't let anyone call you teacher. You have only one teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He just keeps going, like he's about to die. He's not holding anything back. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites? You shut the door to the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, and you won't go in yourselves. And you don't let others enter it either. Imagine having that on your judgment day. And then this one I put on a coffee cup, 15. Somebody else put it on a coffee cup. Natalie made it for me because I said, no coffee cup exists with this verse. And she goes, hold my beer. Watch this. Verse 15, this is on a coffee cup. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, Pharisees, hypocrites? You cross land and sea to make one single convert, and you turn that person into twice the child of hell you yourselves are. Jesus said that. You guys think I'm punchy. I'm just being Christ-like. Jesus is saying, don't get caught up in empty religion. That's not where you'll find me. I'm not there. Watch out for those teachers. This same story is told in Matthew 16, and Matthew adds, the disciples finally understood he wasn't talking about bread, but the deceptive teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mark 8, 19 through 20, I left that out. Let's keep going. He says, don't you know anything at all? Verse 19, when I fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up? They go, 12. Okay, 12. And when I fed 4,000 with seven loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? Seven, I guess. He is saying, trust me, you will get lunch. But don't miss the most important things I'm saying. The disciples would have been there with Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus said, don't worry about food. Look at the birds. God takes care of them. They didn't make barns and grain elevators. God feeds them. Look at the flowers. They are dressed more beautiful than the kings. And even those are gone tomorrow. And so aren't you more valuable than a bird and a flower? This is so simple teaching and so hard for us to grasp. And then he says this on the Sermon on the Mount, does worrying even add a single moment to your life? Let me tell you, no. Okay, so here's the point. What we worry about, those are things that we shouldn't be worried about. And the things that we should be concerned about. Watch out, beware of this empty religion we don't give a rip about. Never crosses our mind. We should be thinking about eternity and knowing God and the Savior and then telling a lost and dying world about him. And we're just like, what's Runza going to taste like? I've had that thought myself, so jalapeno jack, that's where it's at. Anyways, we stress about things that don't matter. And we don't stress about things that do matter. Jesus is trying to tell them about truth here, and they can just think about tortillas. That's what a tortilla is. It's a bread made without leaven, if you didn't know. It's a stupid story. I used to teach my kids that the tortillas were called unleavened bread. Jesus is saying, I just fed thousands and you're worried about lunch. Let's keep moving. This next miracle should cause you to scratch your head. We just take a book of the Bible and we walk through it. And the point of the text is the point of my sermon. Chapter 8, verse 22, Jesus heals a blind man. They arrived at Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? He never asks a question when he heals, but he does here. The man looked around and said, yeah, I see people, but I can see them not clearly. I can't see them clearly. They look like trees walking around. 25, then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, don't go back to the village on your way home. Did Jesus swing and miss on his miracle? Like, why have to do a two-stage healing? This is the only place in all four Gospels where this specific miracle is recorded. So what's going on here? Did he forget how to heal? Is he a little rusty? No, the answer is no. These are rhetorically dumb questions, okay? This is what is called, geek out with me for a second, a Marcan sandwich. A Marcan sandwich. Only Mark does this. And here's what he does. The writer of Mark tells the story. He pauses, makes his point, and then continues on with the story. Bread, meat, bread. Okay? That's the point. The bread, the disciples don't get it. They don't get it. He's talking about, look out, beware of the teaching of the religious leaders. They don't get it. He throws in this miracle where he kind of sees it, he doesn't see it, he sees a little bit more, and then the next piece of bread, which you're going to read in Mark, is Jesus, well, Peter declares that Jesus is the Savior of the world for the first time ever. Here it is. Just follow along because I don't want you to think Jesus didn't have enough power to get it right the first time. In this little story, there are five verbs used for seeing. The reason for this sight-seeing miracle for the blind is that he was blind, he partially sees, and then he sees everything clearly. It's a summary of the disciples' spiritual eyes. That's what it is. They are spiritually blind, and then they start to partially see it, and then they see everything clearly, and they say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Don't think that Jesus' power was limited and he had to give it a second go-around to fully heal him. When it comes to your spiritual eyes, are you blind? Do you partially see, or do you see everything clearly? Let me help you. You are blind spiritually if Jesus is boring to you. You can partially see if you are curious about Jesus and you want to know more. But if Jesus is worth everything to you, you see it. You get it. You're not blind. Does that make sense? Last thing, and then I'm done. This is what it's like to tell somebody about Jesus. Picture yourself explaining to a blind person what glass is. What glass is, not your glasses, a window. Picture yourself explaining to a blind person that you can see it. You can see the glass, but you can also see through it to somebody who's never opened their eyes. Nobody ever seen it. Can you imagine explaining that? The blind person can touch the window. The blind person can feel the window and then has no category how you could see the glass and see through the glass. I did too many drugs in high school. That's why I think of these analogies, okay? Kids, don't do drugs. When you do drugs, you think you're the smartest person in the room. You're not. You're the dumbest. The same is true spiritually. Expressing salvation in Jesus to someone who's spiritually blind. They know who you're talking about. They know he was a person long, long time ago. They know the story. They can hear of the cross. They can see it. But they have no category for it, and all they can think about is lunch. That's what it's like to preach the gospel to people. It is impossible for anyone to take Jesus too serious. This is why it's haunting to me. It is impossible to be too in love with Christ. It is impossible to discover the depths of Christ and not have your heart be affected by him. That's why I preach. For your joy. I don't want to fill a building full of religious people. I want you to be fascinated with Jesus. And I'm just asking, do you see it? And if you don't, I want to help you get there. Let's pray. God, I pray that the story of Mark isn't just a story, but it's a testimony to who you are right now. You're so patient with us. You're patient with the disciples when they miss it. You're patient with me. You're patient with your church. I just pray that this would not be in vain. And that whatever you do in the world isn't to make a great name for anybody but yourself. I pray that Christ would be exalted in my life, in this church, in this community, and that nobody would be able to stop that. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.